I like wrestling. I do. I do. You know, even though sometimes I sit here and I wonder why I still watch it, there's something about it that draws me back, even when I have my doubts. I say, you know what, even though this week may have been a bad week, it's going to be better the week after. And I keep watching, as I've been doing since I was a wee little boy. I like wrestling. You know what else I like? I like zombies. Love zombies. I feel like I'm one of the few people left who stuck with The Walking Dead from season one and is going to be there until the bitter end. Show that had 20 million viewers. I think now they have maybe a million each season. I'm one of the diehards. I'm still there until the very end. But I can honestly say, as I sit here, at no point have I ever wondered, hey, you know what would be great? If we can take wrestling and zombies and mash them together. We had an ECW zombie once many years ago. In fact, I had him on the podcast. And that was fine because it was a one-night thing. Nobody really took it seriously, and the Sandman beat the hell out of him. I don't want to go online on all these news websites like I did a few weeks ago and see these reports that members of WWE management watched the Blood and Guts match that AEW did on Dynamite a few weeks ago, and they were appalled by what they saw. They thought that the Blood and Guts match set wrestling back 30 years. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from the same company that tonight on this pay-per-view gave us zombies. Zombies devouring their own talents. John Morrison, eaten by zombies. The Miz, eaten by zombies. The creative team, their brains, eaten by zombies. That's what we got. In the Lumberjack match, we had The Miz against Damian Priest. All in the name of promoting Dave Bautista's new movie on Netflix, which comes out, I think, in a few weeks. Or next week. You know what? Bautista went from being somebody I liked to being the top heel in the company, as far as I'm concerned. Why couldn't he be here tonight? How come instead of the zombies, you couldn't have Bautista make a special cameo appearance as a lumberjack? Raise Damian Priest's arm at the very end. Give him the big endorsement at the end of the match. Wouldn't that have made more sense? Is he too busy for a cameo? Did he honestly sit at home watching this and think that this was a good idea? Bautista seems to be a sensible guy. I see him on social media when WWE does something really dumb. He's the first person to chime in. When Asuka got pinned on Monday night, I think he actually put a tweet up saying, I can't believe they beat Asuka. I refuse to believe that Dave Bautista would have watched this show tonight and thought, you know what? This is fucking great. We got zombies on the show. And yet, on a show with zombies, we had, in the main event, Cesaro, for the first time in his career, wrestling in a pay-per-view main event for a major championship. I was going to say world championship, but I guess it's technically a universal championship. That supersedes the world. What's bigger than a world? A universe. A galaxy. Call it whatever you want. We had Cesaro in a position that we are not used to seeing him in. And he has been in this company now for over a decade. And tonight, the man got his spot that a lot of people have been waiting a long time for. Long overdue. One-on-one against Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. The finish was never in doubt. He did not win the title. Spoiler, he did not win the title. Roman Reigns is still the champion. I don't know anybody who was predicting otherwise. But these two guys went out there tonight and they delivered a fantastic pro wrestling match in that main event, devoid of any interference, any kind of shenanigans, any Uso. When was the last time we saw Roman Reigns big match main event without Jey Uso coming out? Kudos to both those guys. I'll give them their applause right here at the beginning of the stream. Not even the zombie bullshit could ruin my mood when that main event was over. Roman Reigns may still be the champion, but Cesaro went out there and he hung with arguably the best, certainly in the company, Roman Reigns is firing on all cylinders right now, doing the best work of his career. Roman Reigns, Cesaro hung in there every step of the way. If you put that match in front of a live audience, I guarantee you the people would have been hanging on every near fall. Excellent main event. The triple threat for the WWE Championship, also very good. The key matches on this show delivered. So I am not going to allow the zombie nonsense to color my overall opinion of the show. Overall, if you remove the bullshit, overall, this was a good show. Very predictable. If you were expecting a big surprise, if you were expecting a big comeback or a big debut or a big title change, you got one title change, although again, it was fairly predictable. I was kind of hoping they would hold off on it. I'm going to run down the entire card. This is your WrestleMania Backlash review. I am the Solid Monster. Thank you for choosing me for your coverage here tonight. Hell in a Cell is coming up next month on June 20th. Normally, they save the Hell in a Cell show for October, but not this year. They've bumped it up. They're doing Hell in a Cell on June 20th, so this Father's Day, you can send Dad to hell. On the kickoff show, we had Sheamus issuing a non-title open challenge, which was accepted by our good friend Rick O'Shea. Haven't seen too much of him on television lately. Apparently, he's been hanging out on Main Event with the Main Event crew, with Mustafa Ali and those guys. It also looked like they told him about 5 minutes before the match, hey, you're up next, because he's out there wearing jeans, unless that's his new ring attire and I'm not aware of it. I don't want to hear from people, oh, it was an open challenge, so it kind of makes sense. When was the last time in an open challenge that somebody didn't come out in anything but their gear, okay? When WWE is not all of a sudden going to start to make sense. Don't give me the, oh, it makes sense nonsense on a night where they gave us fucking zombies. They probably told this guy 5 minutes beforehand, hey, go get ready because you're up next against Sheamus. Apparently, the match order changed quite a bit. The Raw Women's title match that opened the pay-per-view tonight was not originally in that spot. So I'm sure a lot of things were changing right up until match time. Ricochet missed the 450 splash, avoided the brogue kick, rolled up Sheamus for a near fall. Sheamus jumped to his feet, rocked Ricochet with a knee strike for the win. That was really it. That was really the crux of the match right there. After the match, Sheamus started cutting a promo when the sore loser, Ricochet, jumps him from behind. And what does he do? He takes the man's hat. He takes the man's coat. He puts it on. And Sheamus chases him to the back. And I am reminded of something I was talking about earlier today on episode 704 of The Sound Off. When I was reviewing SmackDown from Friday night, there was a match between King Cockroach and Shinsuke Nakamura, and Cockroach got the win. Nakamura kicked him in the face anyway when it was over, like a sore loser, and stole his crown because he is the king of the ring. And he put the crown on his head and he took the crown. He stole the man's crown. And I was saying, what is this? This is like the pirate stealing Bret Hart's jacket, his leather jacket back in 1995 in the dark days of the company. And now we have Ricochet stealing Sheamus's hat and coat. I guess when you can't win a championship, you just steal whatever you can. This is what this man has been reduced to. He is stealing Sheamus's hat and his coat. By the way, Sheamus is hardly a fashion plate. He can keep his hat and coat for all I care, but apparently Ricochet is very much in favor of wearing Sheamus's gear. I'm sure this will carry over into Raw tomorrow night. I'm sure you're all very excited to see how they follow up on this. You'll be tuning in tomorrow night to see the inevitable rematch between Ricochet and Sheamus. Maybe they could do the hat on a pole. Maybe they could do a ladder match and they can hang the hat from way above. Sheamus has the U.S. title, but I doubt Ricochet cares. What do you need a belt for when you already have the coat and the hat? I got to say, this company has a completely bizarre way of booking babyfaces. For everything I just said, Nakamura loses. He's the babyface. Loses. Attacks the heel when the match is over. Steals his shit. Ricochet, babyface. Loses. steals the guy's shit when the match is over. These are how they booked their baby faces in 2021. And you wonder why they have such a difficult time building up new big baby faces. I just can't imagine why. And here I thought Damian Priest. They really got to build up Damian Priest. Who else do they have on that Raw brand outside of Drew McIntyre to challenge for the championship and Bobby Lashley? Right? They have no one. Keith Lee is still gone. They've got a search party out looking for him. We don't know where he is. So you almost have to build up Damian Priest. And yeah, he keeps winning. He got a win tonight. But boy, they didn't do him any favors in that match in terms of getting him over as the next big baby face. Fighting off fucking zombies. Pay-per-view opened. Man, I haven't even gotten to the main card yet. I'm all fired up here. Pay-per-view opened with a video narrated by the new biggest heel in all of wrestling, Dave Bautista, who is starring in a new Netflix movie, in case you didn't know, called Army of the Dead, which sponsored tonight's pay-per-view. They shoehorn clips of the movie into the intro video along with a video of WWE talent. You know, James Gunn wrote a role for Batista in the Suicide Squad sequel that's going to be coming out, I think, in a few months. And he turned it down to take this movie with Netflix because he said he wanted to cultivate a relationship with Netflix. So he turned down the role that was made for him in the Suicide Squad movie for this movie that they wouldn't shut up about on tonight's pay-per-view. This better be a hell of a movie. Hell of a movie. You better hope it does real well. First up was the triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship, Rhea Ripley against Asuka and Charlotte Flair. Asuka got the better of both women for a little bit at the beginning of this match. She went up top, hit a missile dropkick on Ripley. Flair knocked Asuka to the floor and hit her terrible-looking moonsault onto the floor. I think people, when they watch Charlotte hit this moonsault, you know, because she gets such a big rotation on it, oh, it looks great. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. She lands on her feet. Sometimes she'll even over-rotate more, where she'll, like she did tonight, where she'll kind of land on her feet, but she'll keep going. I'm shocked she didn't smack her head on the ground. When you hit a moonsault, you're supposed to take your opponent out. They all fall down anyway, but it just looks terrible because she can never hit the move right. I don't know why she insists on doing it. Just because she can actually do the flip? Who cares? It looks like shit. But they all fell down. Flair rolled Asuka back inside, went up top. Ripley cut her off, tried to superplex her, but Flair blocked it. Asuka joined in. They hit an assisted superplex. Asuka and Ripley teamed up for a double suplex attempt. Flair landed on her feet, turned around, immediately gave them a double chop block. She followed up with a double natural selection, covered both women at the same time for a near fall. Thankfully, they kicked out. Flair went for another moonsault. Asuka moved. Flair landed on her feet. Rhea went for the riptide on Asuka, who countered into an Asuka lock attempt that Rhea fought out of. There was a lot of back and forth here at this point, a lot of action going on. Asuka caught Charlotte with a kick to the head, then a kick to Rhea. Flair ended up on the apron, so this was the finish. Charlotte is on the apron, and Asuka is coming into... She was probably going for the hip attack move that she does. But as she's coming in, Charlotte's got those long legs. She puts her leg through the ropes and kicks Asuka in the head. Okay? So remember that. Charlotte hits an offensive move and kicks Asuka. That sends Asuka backwards into the grip of Rhea Ripley, who hits her riptide finish and gets the pin on Asuka. Exactly the way she did on Raw last Monday night. And she pins Asuka to retain the Raw Women's Championship. What made no sense about this is the fact that Charlotte was still standing up on the apron. She had kicked Asuka. Presumably, she was watching all of this unfold, had plenty of time to jump in and break up the pin attempt, and did no such thing. She just watched. she just looked on and watched as Rhea Ripley got the pin and retained her championship. And the only thing I can surmise is that Alexa Bliss and her little puppet friend Lily used their black voodoo magic to make Charlotte disappear. Make her disappear for 10 seconds and then magically reappear. Because then we got a shot of her on the outside of the ring looking in. She couldn't believe what just happened. That made no sense. That made no sense at all. Otherwise, I thought this was a good opener. I thought all three women looked good, forgetting the moonsault stuff. I thought they all worked hard. They all looked good. A lot of good back and forth here in this match. I expected a Charlotte win. Not that I'm complaining that she didn't. I expected a Charlotte win. I'm not surprised they had Asuka take the fall. You know, Asuka had her year. And now the focus is on Rhea. And you know where this is going. This is going to Rhea one-on-one with Charlotte. They're going to pick up with those two and continue that feud. Charlotte is going to chase after the title. Charlotte was not pinned tonight. Asuka was. Asuka now moves aside. But it makes you wonder, after what we saw Monday night, when Alexa Bliss was saying, you know, Lily doesn't like one of you, and I think all of them were in the ring, including Asuka. Maybe Asuka is moving on to a feud with Alexa Bliss. Maybe Alexa Bliss is targeting Asuka while Charlotte goes off with Rhea Ripley. And if that's the case, then God help Asuka to be involved with all that fucking puppet shit. Oh, yeah. That'll be great. That'll be wonderful. In the back, John Morrison was telling The Miz, since he picked the stipulation, and Miz was wondering, why would you pick a lumberjack match for my match tonight? Morrison told him, don't worry about it. I'm going to go talk to the lumberjacks. I'm going to go make sure that they know what to do tonight. Little did we know where this was going. We had Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode against Rey Mysterio and his son Dominic for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Roode and Ziggler attacked Dominic on the kickoff show. Or at least they had footage on the kickoff show earlier in the day. I don't know what Dominic was doing by himself. They kind of cornered him in the hallway. I don't know what the hell he was doing there. And they beat him up. They ended up throwing a couch on top of him. There happened to be a couch wrapped in plastic just sitting there. I have no idea. It looked like someone's grandmother's couch. I haven't seen a couch wrapped in plastic. Well, actually, that's not true. I was going to say the last time I saw a couch wrapped in plastic was at my grandmother's house. But the last time I would have seen that was actually at a dive bar in New York. I wish I remember the name of it. It was made to look like someone's grandmother's basement. I would not have sat on that couch if you paid me $1 million. If you took one of those blue, the black lights like you see on CSI and shined it on the plastic on that couch, I can only imagine what kind of stains would have come up. So they threw the couch on top of Dominic. And the funniest part about it is, of course, after they put the couch on top of him, now here come all the officials, and there's Jamie Noble. I don't remember who else was there, but here's Jamie Noble and two or three other people, and they couldn't lift the couch. They couldn't lift the couch off poor Dominic. What is wrong with these people? Remind me if I ever move not to call them to come help me. So Dominic was not cleared to compete. They're in the back with the doctor, and the doctor's like, or the trainer, whoever it is. And clearly Dominic was in a bad way. And Ray told him, son, don't worry. You'll live to fight another day. There'll be another opportunity for us. And instead it turned into a handicap match. And I'm watching this and I'm going, how can they just get away with that? It's just as if like the announcers are just like, well, I guess Ray's going to have to go it alone. It's like, so that, I guess apparently you can just beat up anybody you want in the back and there's no consequences for it. Where's Adam Pearce? Where's Sonya Deville? How are they allowed to get away with this? I tweeted during the show. I said, if I'm Bobby Lashley right now, I'm going around in the back looking for either Drew McIntyre or Braun Strowman. I'm looking for a couch. I'm looking for a love seat. I'm looking for an ottoman. I'm looking for anything I can get my hands on. A fucking refrigerator to throw on top of them and better my chances in the championship match later in the show, because apparently you can do anything if you want. That's quite a lawless society they have there in WWE. All the shit that you can get away with. So Rey Mysterio came out and it was 2-on-1. I guess, you know, hey, sucks for him. Rey was doing all he could early on. Heels ended up taking over. Rude was targeting Rey's left knee. Smart man. If there's one body part on Rey Mysterio that you know to target, it's the knee. So then he sends Rey. This was probably the coolest spot of the match. He sends Rey sliding under the bottom rope, right? He's throwing him out of the ring. And Rey goes sliding under the bottom rope right into the waiting kick. The waiting super kick outside from Dolph Ziggler. And Ziggler just nailed him. Rey ate that one. Barely made it back into the ring before the 10 count. Dominic, all of a sudden, in the middle of the match, comes walking down to the ring. He's holding his ribs. No one is trying to stop him. He gets up on the apron. His father sees him. "What are you, son? What are you doing here?" And he ends up making the tag. Rude catches Dominic with a spine buster. Rude and Ziggler follow that up with a double team neck breaker. Rude is on the apron now. Dolph is legal. Dominic is in the corner, in the heels corner. And Dolph is setting up for the super kick. And Rude is just kind of kneeling down on the apron, almost face to face with Dominic, just talking shit. You know, you don't belong here. Talking all kinds of crap. And as Dominic comes out of the corner, he connects with a super kick of his own and takes down Dolph Ziggler. Rey gets the tag. Rude gets the tag. He hits a 619 to Bobby Rude. Walks over and tags Dominic back in. Rey takes out Ziggler on the outside. Dominic goes up top, hits a frog splash. His real father's old move. Hits the Eddie Guerrero frog splash off the top rope. And he gets the win. And Rey Mysterio and Dominic become the first father and son team in history to become the world tag team champions, or at least in WWE, first father and son combo to become tag team champions. After the match, Kayla Braxton comes into the ring. And they did this with Natty and Tamina when they won the women's tag titles Friday night on SmackDown. And I like when they do stuff like this, because when you have what is supposed to be this big emotional win, you should make it feel like a big deal. Now, do I care that Natty and Tamina are the tag team champions? No, I don't care. I don't give a shit. But I know for them, you could tell it meant something. It was a special moment, especially for Tamina, who's never all the years she's been in WWE, she has never held a major title. She held the 24/7 title. It's a fucking joke belt. It doesn't count. So this was her first real championship. And you can tell that it meant something to her. And then they shot pyro off. You would think it was the main event of WrestleMania, which, caught myself there. That it was not, but they tried to make it feel like a big deal. So they send Kayla into the ring here, and they, you know, interview Rey and Dominic, and Dominic talks about how proud he is to win the belt. What an honor. What a moment it is to win the belts with his father. And Rey is talking, God is good, and he's all excited about it. So it was a cool moment. I wish they would have either done this at WrestleMania or that they would have waited. If WrestleMania was too soon, I wish they would have waited and did this at the July pay-per-view, whatever that July pay-per-view is going to be, if it's going to be Extreme Rules, if it's going to be King of the Ring. I was speculating about that earlier today on the podcast. Because it looks like they'll probably be back on the road and have people in the building, possibly as early as that July 18th pay-per-view. And I really wish they would have waited, because this was an outcome. This was a match that needed to happen in front of people. This really deserved an audience, because I think they would have reacted huge and it would have made it feel that much more special. But that's really the only critique I have. I thought they told a really good story. Even if it didn't make a lot of sense that Rude and Ziggler could just get away with doing what they did, they told a good story here. The action was good. I would have waited a little bit. I wouldn't have done it in their first meeting, but This was really good stuff. I like Rey and Dominic as a team. I really do. But I do not expect them to be champions for very long. You know, what I've said is they're going to win the belts. I didn't think it would be tonight, but they're going to win the belts. And they'll have, you know, a short little run with them, but they're going to drop the belts to the Usos. That's what I think that's where this is leading. Get the belts on a pure babyface team. I mean, that's what Rey and Dominic are. And Jimmy and Jay go on to win the tag titles. And then you have the Samoan Dynasty carrying, you know, almost all the gold on SmackDown. That's where I think this is heading. So then we get to the insanely stupid part of tonight's show. We had John Morrison. He goes to the Lumberjacks locker room. He opens the door. He's going to have a whole conversation with the Lumberjacks. Johnny Drip Drip. Where did this start, by the way? Where did this Johnny Drip Drip nonsense start? Because I know it predates Bad Bunny. It's fucking annoying. He goes and opens the door. And at first I thought that it was the Boogeyman. Remember the Boogeyman? I'm the Boogeyman, and I'm coming to get you. Because they had the red lighting, and they had the weird, kind of creepy music in the background. But no, he opens the door, and what do we see? We see a horde of zombies. We see a horde of extras in zombie makeup. I'm sure most of them from the Performance Center. This is the most action they've gotten since the beginning of the pandemic, because they don't run live events anymore. So you have a performance center full of people who can't perform. So I'm sure they loved being able to be on the show tonight. Although I would have loved to have seen their faces when they told them exactly what they were going to be doing. The one saving grace for them is that at least they had makeup on, so they won't be able to be recognized after being part of this horrible shit. Morrison hightailed it, but Unfortunately, he allowed them to exit the room. The door was left open, and the zombies were released. Don't you know you've got to board the door up? He didn't board up the door. Out came the zombies. I was hoping they would make their way down to the office that has that big sign on the outside that says Mr. McMahon's office. Or they would make their way down to Bruce Pritchard's office, and they would walk in there, and they would eat him, and that would be the end. But they went right past that on their way out to the ring. So unfortunately, as far as we know, maybe it did happen and we didn't get to see it, but they bypassed McMahon and Pritchard. They went right to the ring, which led to the Lumberjack match. Damian Priest one-on-one against The Miz. Now, I am sick to death of seeing Damian Priest and The Miz and John Morrison. Damian Priest is going to be a big star on the Raw brand. Damian Priest is somebody they should be grooming right now to challenge Bobby Lashley in a few months for the WWE Championship, because they don't have anybody else. Who else do they have on the babyface side on Raw who could challenge Lashley for the championship once we're done with this Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman stuff? Who? They don't have anybody. Keith Lee is missing, right? Who else is there? Matt Riddle is doing tag team stuff with Randy Orton. AJ Styles is doing tag team stuff with Omos. What other babyface do they have? No one. Priest is it. So you've got to really build this guy up, right? And he got, you know, some of the rub being part of that match of WrestleMania with Bad Bunny, even though everybody was talking about Bad Bunny when it was over. They weren't talking about Damian Priest. I have reached my wit's end. We got one more match here on the show with them. Enough. It is time to move on. Having seen what they did here tonight, it was time to move on before this pay-per-view. Little did I know what they had in mind. The zombies come out. Miz and Morrison were running around the ringside area, trying to get away, trying to escape their zombie makers. We see another zombie emerge from underneath the announce desk. So the commentators fled to a safer space. I said, oh, great, Adnan Virk, he's gone. All right, now I'm becoming a fan of the zombies here. But then the announcers fled to a different location, a safe location, apparently, where they could do commentary from there. So no luck on that. But Damian Priest, was not just The Miz, Because Morrison left. Morrison vanished, and Miz is like, where are you going? Right? Miz is in the ring with Damian Priest. And both of them are looking around like they're actually scared, like they don't know what's going on here. Well, oh my God, we got zombies. The fact that they had to sell this, that's what made this so bad. I was kind of holding out hope that when this was over, the lights would come on, and Damian Priest, after his big win, would have a big smile on his face, and he'd start high-fiving the zombies, and the zombies would come out of character and start pulling off, you know, the prosthetics or whatever they were wearing, rubbing off the makeup. And we would find that it was, I don't know, I mean, they haven't really established who else outside of Bad Bunny he's friendly with. But, you know, it's like buddies of his that he paid off to be lumberjacks. Even that wouldn't have made a whole lot of sense, but at least it would have been like, okay, all right. You're right, you know, at least they took the time to come up with some kind of more logical explanation for this. But nope. Nope, they're zombies. And Damian Priest is looking over his shoulder. He wants to make sure he doesn't get bit. By the way, the screen that usually has all the virtual Thunderdome fans on it, we had no Thunderdome fans. It transformed into something that you would see in a zombie movie. It was like a fallen city. That looked kind of cool. I guess that's the best thing I could say about that. I wouldn't mind if they took all the fucking people off the screens and just had that. Honestly, I think it was just easier on my eyes. It wasn't so bright. It was darker. I think visually, my eyes, like, it gave my eyes a rest, so maybe that's what I liked about it. But Miz fell to the floor. He crawled under the ring to get away from the zombies. Priest took advantage. He connected with a spinning heel kick off the top rope once Miz got back in the ring. Miz avoided a kick, locked on the figure four leg lock, and the zombies pulled Priest and Miz out to the floor. And at that point, Priest looked at Miz, Miz looked at Priest. They started working together to fight off the zombies like something out of a fucking movie. Back inside, Miz tried to high-five Priest. Then he went to go kick him. Priest was expecting it. He caught his foot, hit a falcon arrow for a near fall. At this point, here comes John Morrison. John Morrison is coming back down to the ring, fighting his way through the zombies. I can't even believe I'm reviewing this. This is so fucking ridiculous. Morrison comes back down to the ring, and he took out some zombies with one of his parkour dives off the... Was it the ring steps? I think it was off the ring steps. He did one of those wacky little parkour dive deals. Took out some of the... So, for those of you, if you're ever caught in a zombie apocalypse, in case you were wondering, you know, usually you aim for the head, right? You got to go through the brain. No, no, no. Just do some parkour. That's all you got to do. Hit some parkour. That'll take him right out. He got up on the barricade. He was going to do something. A bunch of zombies, though, reached up and pulled him down. So now Morrison is on the other side of the barricade. And all we see are the zombies pulling him down, presumably eating him alive. They are eating John Morrison. Priest, back in the ring, hit the lights finish on Miz for the win. After the match, the zombies all climbed into the ring. They crawled all over Miz, presumably to eat him. If I were Miz, I would want to be covered up too, out of shame. The Miz was WWE champion just a few months ago. Can I just remind everybody of that fact right now? Where are we now? What is today? May 16th, right? 2 months ago. 2 months ago. The Miz was WWE champion. And now he is, well, I mean, we knew he was going to be doing the job, but now he is being eaten by zombies. Oh, how quickly the mighty have fallen. This was garbage. That's what this was. This was pure garbage. And I like zombies. I even, like I said earlier, I got a kick out of the ECW zombie, but having to watch the wrestlers sell like they were real, and you know what you're gonna, and I already saw some of it, I was checking the WrestleMania Backlash hashtag, I just had to see, I went under the WWE account, when you get the WWE diehards and the casuals, right, who sometimes post under there. And I said, don't do it. Don't do it. But I couldn't help myself. And I was going through some of the tweets, and you should just see some of the comments that I saw. Oh, people are going to complain because all they like to do is complain. I thought it was entertaining. Wrestling is a variety show. I'm reading some of these tweets. I wish I could take a hot poker and shove it up their ass sideways. Some of these comments are just, I'm getting douche chills up and down my arms right now. Oh, wrestling is supposed to be fun. Wrestling is a variety show. Enjoy it. Wrestling is about entertainment. There was one guy, I wish I would have written his name down. I don't want to single out anybody, but he got, wrestling is sports entertainment. You have a mix of sport, and then you have, like tonight, the entertainment aspect of it. This guy was getting ratioed so bad. Telling you, hot poker, sideways. Some of these fucking people. This was trash. This was garbage. And even though Miz and Morrison were eaten by zombies, in true Vince McMahon fashion, the show must go on, as we know. So the pay-per-view rolled along, right into the next match, which was a championship match. For the SmackDown Women's title, it was Bianca Belair defending against Bayley. Belair had the early advantage. Bayley couldn't do anything with her. Bianca's rolling. She's firing on all cylinders. Bayley just can't figure this woman out. Bayley grabs a hold of Belair's earring to take over. Catches Bianca with a back suplex for a two count. Bianca fights out of it. Hits a suplex. So they're fighting around ringside. Bayley drops Bianca on the ring steps. And Belair catches Bayley with a spine buster for a near fall. Bayley recovers, hits the flying elbow, another near fall. And then Bayley sends Bianca into the ring post. Now, Bayley went for a suicide dive, or as Excalibur would say, a tope suicida. Unfortunately for her, she crashed and burned. She did not hit Bianca. She hit the ground, shoulder first. That looked like it sucked. Back inside, Bayley used the backslide with her feet on the ropes for a near fall. She tried to cheat again. The referee caught her this time. Bayley then raked Bianca in the eyes, and she grabbed Bianca's braid. She grabbed her braid. She tried to use it while hitting her rose plant finisher, but Belair countered into a braid-assisted roll-up. That's what I called it. That's basically what it was. Braid-assisted roll-up for the win. I thought the match was fine. Coming after the zombie shit didn't do it any favors. The outcome was predictable, but it was the right outcome. You don't take the title off Bianca Belair, just like you don't take the title off Rhea Ripley. Now, if these are the women you want to build around, you've got to give them some time. Let them rack up some wins before you take the title away from them. It was the right outcome. And I think Bianca working with Bayley for another month or two actually is the way to go. And we know it's going to happen because Bayley was already complaining to Michael Cole when the match was over that she cheated. Put that in your notes. So we know we're getting at least one. We're getting at least one rematch between these two women. And I think it could work out perfectly because if they can just hold off a little bit longer, you could get to SummerSlam and do the rematch from WrestleMania between Sasha and Bianca at SummerSlam. Because you know they're going to come back to that feud. It's just a matter of when. I mean, they could do it on TV this Friday. But if they can do an extended program with Bianca and Bayley, you could get to a Sasha-Bianca rematch as one of the featured matches at SummerSlam and have Sasha win the belt back there. That's what I would try to do if it were me. Triple threat match for the WWE Championship, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, and Braun Strowman. As I say hello to all of our friendly faces in the chat. I see some of our members in the chat. If you're wondering why some people have the badges next to their name, You can become a channel member if you would like to look into what perks are involved. You could just click that join button down below. It'll tell you everything you need to know. You don't have to do it right now. But if you want to consider becoming a channel member, that would be fantastic. So please give that a look. Something else that you should give a look to is this triple threat match for the WWE Championship, which was very good. This was a very good match, I thought. Strowman had the early advantage, threw Lashley and McIntyre around the ring. Lashley and McIntyre worked together, hit a double standing suplex to Braun Strowman. That was very impressive. Now, Braun Strowman is a big dude. How often in his career do you think that Braun Strowman has been lifted up, hanging upside down like that for an extended period of time? Not very often. Now, it took two of them to do it, but I thought that was a cool-looking spot. McIntyre took over, and they did mention, by the way, that he's got a new book out, My Chosen Destiny. Cheap plug. You can use our Audible link, get the book for free. Right? Why pay for it? The audiobook, that is. Audibletrial.com/Solomon, so you can listen to Drew tell the story in his own words. He narrates the whole thing, all 8 hours of it. Just use our link, you get it for free. So he took over, he had a crossbody on Lashley. Strowman hit Lashley with the ring steps to briefly gain control. And Drew hit the Claymore kick on Braun, sent him out over the barricade. So now it's down to Drew and Lashley. And these guys are fighting back and forth. Lashley gives McIntyre a suplex on the ramp. They fight all the way up onto the stage. Drew sends Lashley into the LED board, and then he throws Lashley into the LED board again. Now, they had, it was one of the side panels on the right side of the stage. He sends him just barreling into it, and Lashley goes through it, and immediately you see this little explosion. We see sparks flying, and Bobby Lashley just disappears. He kind of vanishes into the darkness off on the side. It looks like he's been blown up, so at this point of the show, we've seen people eaten by zombies, and now it looks like our WWE champion has been blown to smithereens. But the show must go on. So Drew McIntyre takes himself back down to the ring. Now it's going to be McIntyre and Strowman. Lashley is out of the picture. They really badly want you to believe that we're going to have a new champion because Lashley has been taken out of the picture. At this point, I knew exactly what was coming up for the finish. The only question was, who is Lashley going to pin? And if you've been listening to the podcast, I mean, it should be pretty obvious anyway. I've been telling you the entire reason, the entire purpose that Braun Strowman was added to this match. There was only one reason why this man was added to make this a triple threat match. But Drew came back down to the ring and the two of them started fighting. McIntyre got Strowman up for a Michinoku driver for a near fall. So there were some impressive spots in this match. The double standing vertical suplex to Braun was one. But McIntyre, all by himself, hit a Michinoku driver on Braun Strowman, who is a very large man. That was impressive. Hit the driver for the near fall. Braun then backdropped Drew out to the floor, and Strowman goes outside and he starts up the Strowman Express. Thankfully, they didn't play any fucking sound effects in the background. He comes around like a locomotive. Right, there's Drew McIntyre. He runs right into Drew, but Drew catches him. And Drew gives him an overhead belly-to-belly suplex where Braun almost saw his career ended. He almost landed on top of his head. And it's one thing if you're a small guy to land on top of your head. When you're 350 pounds landing on top of your head, that's not good. So he narrowly avoided disaster. He just kind of made it over all the way. But that looked very scary. McIntyre went for what Corey Graves said was a Claymore kick attempt. It looked more like he was going for a Rana. I mean, he just jumped up and Braun caught him. Powerbombed him through the announce desk. Back inside, Strowman hoisted McIntyre up for the power slam, but Drew slipped out. Came off the ropes, hit the Claymore kick. And here comes Bobby Lashley, right in the nick of time. Here's the champion. Lashley returns. He throws Drew out of the ring. Hits Strowman with a spear for the win to retain the title. Boy, Braun sure did no-sell that Claymore kick. Boy, he got up awfully quick so that he could eat the spear. But Bobby Lashley gets the pin. He remains the WWE champion. Strowman did his job. He did his job. He did the job. He did the J-O-B. That was the entire reason why Braun Strowman was in this match to begin with, was to take the losing fall. And again, Bobby Lashley, no reason to take the title off him so soon. He hasn't been champion for that long. Problem is, they need babyfaces. But they have a little bit of time, because I'm almost sure we're going to get Lashley and McIntyre, or Lashley, McIntyre, and Strowman again. Or probably Lashley and McIntyre at Hell in a Cell on Father's Day. They're going to keep going back to the Drew McIntyre well until people are sick to fucking death of seeing him in title matches. But they almost have no choice. Damian Priest, he's on his way, but it still feels way too soon. I mean, maybe in July, or maybe even build him up for SummerSlam. But in the meantime, it looks like we're heading for another Drew McIntyre match, because he was the one who did not take the losing fall tonight. I thought this was a very good match. You know, these are some big men in there. They were flying all over the place out there. All three of them did a very good job in this match. And then we got the main event. We got Cesaro getting his first pay-per-view main event for a championship here, taking on Roman Reigns for the Universal title. Backstage in the gorilla position before he came out, Roman Reigns told Jey Uso basically to stay in the back. Go look for your brother. You're not needed. And he went out to the ring with Paul Heyman all by themselves. So there were no Usos, no Jey Uso, no Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso was there. He was in some backstage segments earlier. He called his brother Roman's bitch. But he did not appear at all during the main event. Cesaro hit the springboard uppercut early, went for the swing, but Roman fought out of it. Reminds me, we actually did not get a swing. We did not get the Cesaro swing here in this match. But he tried for it. Roman, of course, escaped. He threw Cesaro out of the ring, landed right on his arm. And he was selling it like he was hurt. This was the story that they told in this match. This is the story they tell in every match. Every babyface that's going to lose, it's got to be, there's a certain body part, one particular body part that's injured or broken, or just hurt in some way. In this match, it was Cesaro. It was his right arm. His right arm, his right elbow. He was favoring it. Back inside, Roman ran him shoulder first into the ring post to the bad arm. Roman looked over at Michael Cole at one point, and he mouthed the words because he saw Cole was talking. I don't think he could tell what he was saying, but Roman looks over at him and he goes, "Put me over." That's right, put me over. And I laughed, and I'm just thinking to myself, has this guy not watched any WWE programming for the last 7 years? That's all Michael Cole does, is put over Roman Reigns. The big dog. Here comes the big dog. 7 years of this. If he wasn't putting Roman over, I would think that this guy, there was something wrong with him. Put me over, he says. Reigns went for the Superman punch. Cesaro avoided it. He caught Roman with a pop-up uppercut. Cesaro locks on the sharpshooter, but Roman quickly crawls to the ropes, pulls himself outside. Cesaro hits a corkscrew plancha out onto Roman Reigns and puts him back in the ring, but Reigns rolls out to the other side. And again, Cesaro comes out after him, charges in for an uppercut, uppercuts him right into the barricade. He rolls him back inside. Cesaro goes up for a crossbody and gets a near fall out of it. Yeah, we have a lot of people in the chat who are pointing out that Michael Cole has had a huge crush for years now on Roman Reigns. Here's my question to you. I put this question to everybody in the chat, everybody listening live. If Michael Cole, you ever saw the movie The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin? And, I forgot the other guy's name. Elijah Wood. And there's that heartbreaking scene at the end of the movie with the mom. Both kids are hanging over the cliff. She's holding on to both of them, but she's losing her grip. She's not that strong. She can only save one son. And I won't spoil it and tell you which son that she saves. But if the mother was Michael Cole, if that was Mother Cole, and in one hand was Roman Reigns and in the other hand was Sasha Banks, you've got the boss and you've got the big dog. And Michael Cole had to make a split-second decision on who to save and who to sacrifice. Who does Michael Cole save? I would love to know. He has not put over anyone on this roster as strongly as he has those two people in the last 5 or 6 years. But he can only save one. Who would it be? Let's see what kind of answers we get out of this. Somebody said Adam Cole. No, he's not an smartass. He's not an option. That's the swerve, right? He lets them both go, and then we see Adam Cole in the background. Okay, all right, I guess that works. Reigns, though, he goes right back to work on Cesaro's right arm. Hits the drive-by, which sends Cesaro backwards into the post. Actually, I think his arm hit the post when he went backwards. From there, we got a few minutes of Roman working on the bad arm. He was taunting him, talking shit to him. Cesaro clubbed him with a wicked clothesline to buy himself some time. And he came roaring back, did Cesaro, with a superplex, bringing Roman back into the ring from the ring apron because this guy is just freakishly strong. He set up for the neutralizer, but his arm gave out. Reigns locked on an armbar. Cesaro reversed out of it for a near fall. He comes off the ropes with a springboard uppercut, but Roman catches him with a Superman punch for a near fall. Reigns goes for the spear. Cesaro hits an uppercut as Reigns comes in for it. He tries for a pop-up uppercut, but his arm simply just will not allow it. He cannot propel Roman up into the air at this point because his arm is just defective. Can't do it. And Reigns locks on the guillotine. Cesaro somehow powers his way out of it. He locks on the sharpshooter. Not a great sharpshooter, though. He kind of loses the grip a little bit because of the arm. So he's got one good arm, and he's just wrenching back as best he can on this hold. But he floats over into a crossface instead. Roman breaks the grip, starts pummeling him. Reigns muscles him up for a powerbomb for another near fall. We got a lot of near falls in this match. Cesaro again muscles him up. Looks like he might be able to get out of it, but Roman just locks it back on. He's got that guillotine sunk in deep. Cesaro is trying. He's trying to fight out of it, but Roman Reigns wraps his legs around Cesaro's body. He's got nowhere to go. And poor Cesaro, he goes nighty-night. Out goes the challenger. The referee calls for the bell. Roman Reigns retains the Universal Championship in an excellent main event. A few seconds later, Cesaro comes to and he's all freaked out. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know that he lost the match. The referee has to explain to him, you lost. You passed out. It's over. It's done. Jey Uso lays Roman Reigns. He laid him around the neck. He put the Samoan lay around Roman's neck. He is the tribal chief. And then he super kicks Cesaro, starts beating on him. Up to the top he goes for the Samoan splash. But before he can do it, we hear the music of Seth Rollins, who comes out in one of the most ridiculous outfits that I've ever seen, which is his new thing now. He comes out with a more ridiculous jacket every week. This one was white with all kinds of paint colors on it. Buttoned up white shirt, buttoned up all the way to the top button. He gets into the ring. He confronts Roman Reigns. He starts to smile. Roman is not smiling back. So it's not like this is some kind of big swerve or big Shield reunion here. Roman is looking at this guy like he's fucking nuts. And Seth instead makes a beeline for Cesaro. He starts beating on him. You're not going to mock me. You're not going to make fun of me. He's pounding away on this guy. Takes him outside the ring. Takes a chair to the bad arm. He places Cesaro's arm in the chair and then smashes the chair against the ring post, which I guess is supposed to make it worse. It makes a cool noise. beyond that, I don't really know what it's really supposed to be doing there. And he finishes him off with a curb stomp on the floor. The most surprising thing about this was just the fact that they were able to keep the Usos out of the match. We saw Jey Uso come out when it was over. But it's very seldom that the Usos or Jey Uso doesn't get involved in a Roman Reigns main event. They left this match one-on-one, no interference, no hijinks, nothing. It was just a straight-up one-on-one match. Cesaro tried, he had the bad arm, and in the end, he went out. Roman Reigns was the better man. Roman Reigns is the champion. He is the final boss in WWE. And you've got to be extra special to go in that ring and be able to outwork him and to beat him. That's the storyline. Nobody is able to beat this guy. He is at his peak at the moment. So as great as Cesaro is, he just wasn't good enough. The good news for him, though, is that at least it looks like they're still going to feature him in a program on SmackDown, given that Seth, you know, came back out and beat him up. They're going to do at least one more match, maybe Hell in a Cell, between Rollins and Cesaro next month. I would, you know, assume that Rollins is the one who's due for a win. So I think all of this Cesaro winning, as of tonight, I think is all over. Right? He's been winning and winning and winning, and tonight he lost. He lost the big one, which we all knew he would. Now he's going to wrestle Rollins again. Rollins put him over at WrestleMania. Rollins put him over on SmackDown a few weeks ago to make him the number one contender. Seth Rollins is not losing to Cesaro for a third time. So I do believe that the push of Cesaro is now, like if it were a graph, right? Cesaro's been going up on the chart, right? Now he's going to be, you know, coming back down, 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 down. A little bit more each week. But it was to be expected. Look, I have enjoyed this little push for him. I told you, don't get your hopes up for anything. People thought, well, maybe they'll put the title on him for like a couple of weeks or something and Roman will win it back on TV. It was never going to happen. It shouldn't happen. Roman is in the middle of a long, extended run with the title. Now, if he were to lose it and win it back 2 weeks later, it's not like it's the end of the world. But it's been going for so long now. You don't end it until you find someone who is the most appropriate person to beat him. Right now, they don't have that person. I don't think that person exists on the SmackDown brand. It's going to be a while before they take that thing off of him. So Cesaro was always going to have an expiration date. Tonight was probably it. We could thank probably Daniel Bryan as much as anybody for putting in a good word for him, because at the time he had influence behind the scenes on SmackDown. He's always been a fan of Cesaro. He's always spoke very highly of him. Absolutely, I credit Daniel Bryan for this push. You think that this was Vince McMahon's idea? Vince McMahon has had this guy under contract for about 10 or 11 years. What is so different all of a sudden that they would wake up and say, hey, wait a minute. Why don't we give Cesaro a big push? It was Daniel Bryan. And thankfully, they went with it. I've enjoyed it. Now it's over. And we move onward. He had his moment. I wanted to see him get a shot at a world title one day, and now we had that chance. And guess what? The match was fucking fantastic. The match lived up to expectations. He went in there. He had a great showing. And I think he should always be in the mix on that brand, in that kind of upper mid-card area, whatever brand he may end up on. But that's probably as good as it gets for Cesaro in WWE. And if it is, you know what? He went out on a high note. Because this match right here, this is the match more so than the triple threat for the WWE title. This match here, this is the match that made the show. This is the match that for 25 minutes made me forget about fucking zombies and what I had seen earlier in the card. This is a match worth going out of your way to see. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. See what you guys thought of tonight. I'm almost afraid to look. I did put the thumbs in the middle option because I thought it was just more fair this time. It's probably going to be a lot of middle-of-the-road opinions on this show. But let's see. Well, I was right. Got 37% thumbs up, roughly 33% thumbs in the middle, and 30% thumbs down. So actually, it's a pretty split poll, pretty much right down the middle. By the way, I think the consensus in the chat is that Michael Cole would indeed save Roman Reigns. And I believe you are right. I believe you are right. He's going to save the big dog. No real surprise there. If you want to vote in the poll, you guys know where to go, at Solomonster on Twitter. As you can see there, what did you think of The Walking Dead? Oh, I mean WrestleMania Backlash. That is the poll. Go ahead and vote. Let your voice be heard. You don't even have to show voter ID. You just show up and vote. It's just that simple. Let's take a look at your super chats. I know you guys have... Actually, before I even get to that, let me just remind you. I put something up about an hour before the pay-per-view tonight. Actually, counting this stream tonight, this is my third show of the day. It's the third podcast I've done today. The main one, Sound Off 704, over 2 hours, went up earlier today. I covered a whole bunch of different topics, including the death of New Jack, the rumor going around about potential discontent behind the scenes with the EVPs in AEW, and a possible big free agent name who may be a little hesitant to sign with AEW because of it. Talked about that, Bray Wyatt, the Booker T documentary on A&E, so go check that out. But I also got up my Dark Side of the Ring review, the Ultra Violence of Nick Gage. That went up about an hour before tonight's pay-per-view. It's about half an hour long. I am not a fan of the ultra-violent deathmatch stuff that I know, you know, CZW and GCW does a lot of, but I went into it with an open mind. And if you're curious what my thoughts were coming out of it, you can go ahead on the channel when we're done here tonight and check it out. I'm enjoying this season of Dark Side of the Ring so far. We're only two episodes in, but I've enjoyed it. We have Collision in Korea coming up on Thursday. That is the next episode they are doing, covering the big Collision in Korea, WCW New Japan show from North Korea, the Hermit Kingdom, many years ago. They actually found Scott Norton, I think. Scott Norton, Eric Bischoff. I assume they didn't get Ric Flair for it. But very curious to know who else they interviewed for that piece. Maybe Dennis Rodman, right? He knows a lot about North Korea. He's all chummy with them over there. All right. Cameron Spencer. Thank you for the $5 super chat. Actually, he sent $10, sent another one in. Would you rather be chopped by Walter or punched in the Adam's apple? Well, I could tell you one thing I definitely don't want. I don't want to be chopped in the Adam's apple by Walter. Think about that. It could happen. Think about that. If you're in a match with Walter one day and he just misses by a couple of inches, imagine getting chopped by Walter in the Adam's apple. Ugh. I don't even want to think about that. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $10. Brian Becerra, dropping 15. I know he's not around for the review tonight, but he wanted to show some love. We love Brian. Brian's here. Brian is on all the streams. He's always here. He's always hanging out in the chat with everybody. So much love to Brian Becerra. Sorry he couldn't join us here tonight. We got a 20 spot here from Rizzo. Said, first it took me 10 minutes for Peacock to work for me. Then I see some zombie match, so I was embarrassed to even have that on my TV. And I ended up putting the hockey game on. Peacock sucks, thankfully. Oh, look at that. Looky, looky, looky. What we have here. Looky, looky, cookie. It is Professor John Gotti dropping $200 on the stream. I didn't even see his message. It disappeared too quickly. Hold on a second here. What did this guy have? He didn't say anything. You believe that? He just wanted to show some love. Professor John Gotti dropping by the WrestleMania Backlash. Well, fuck that. It's Backlash. Dropping by the Backlash review tonight. Professor, I hope you're doing well. I hope you are enjoying some nice weather wherever you may be. We got some nice weather coming to New York this week. It's going to be in the 60s and the 70s, right around 80 for most of the week, even though I'll probably be inside. Am I the only one? My allergies have been kicking my ass these last few weeks. I'm almost afraid to even go out for like a walk around the neighborhood. I take like a Zyrtec and everything. I go out, I come back, and my fucking eyes are itching me. I'm all stuffed up. I don't know what's going on. I didn't remember it being this bad last year. I'm afraid to leave the house. John Gotti, thank you, man. I don't know what else. You always leave me speechless here. You can't be doing that to me. I have a podcast to do. Me being speechless is not good for doing a podcast, but thank you, sir. You're awesome. Unlike this X-Pac Rules guy, who I always have to look at with his shirt open. Look at that. I'm going to do that on the stream one week. I'll wear a button-down shirt. I'll have it opened up here. YouTube will send me a message, probably. But Rizzo, thank you again for the 20 spot. Apparently, he ditched the event for the hockey game. Although he didn't say which hockey game. Alfonso Rodriguez. Drew hits the blue thunderbomb. Yeah, Drew is hitting a whole bunch of different things tonight. But I don't think anything as impressive to me as that Michinoku driver that he hit on Braun Strowman. That's not something you see every day. Walter Palacios with the $5 super chat. I enjoyed the Shawn Michaels biography more than WrestleMania Backlash. Yeah, let me know how that was. I usually don't get to see the A&E biographies until later in the week. Did they cover any new ground? I feel like I pretty much know everything there is to know about Shawn Michaels. Although, please tell me they didn't spend too much time on Montreal. I'm so Montreal'd out. I really hope they didn't spend too much time on Montreal. Joel in the chat says John Gotti Jr. and Sala Monster tag team champions. Hey, it's fine with me. I think we make a great team. Let him do all the work and then I come in and steal the pin. Works for me. TH Revolution with the $3. Aside from zombies, I thought the show was great. Vitamin Vision TV with the 10 spot. Those zombies came so out of left field, I was sitting here like, what the fuck? If you thought this made any sense, you may have Stockholm Syndrome via WWE. I'm telling you, you go check out some of the tweets underneath the WWE Twitter account in the replies. You talk about Stockholm Syndrome. I mean, I'm all for people enjoying whatever they want to enjoy. But the way that some of these people go out of their way to defend the company on every little thing, there are just certain things that there is no defense for. But what the messages I was paraphrasing earlier, those were real messages. I didn't just make them up out of thin air. Real messages. People coming out of the woodwork to defend this. Oh, it's a variety show. You get lots of different entertainment on the show. Why are you complaining? Bogus fan with the $4.99 super chat. Cesaro versus Rollins inside the cell. Anyone? Yeah, you know what? I think it's very possible. Depends how many matches they want to do. If they're only going to keep it to one Hell in a Cell match, it can't be Cesaro and Rollins. It's got to be Roman Reigns. It's got to be a bigger match than that. It's got to be a championship match. You know, I would say two Hell in a Cell matches at the most. I really wouldn't want to see more than that. So, you know, it might not be likely. Unless they just want to do a whole bunch of them up and down the card. Michael Shalik, dropping $4.99, says Sala Monster rules. I like the way the Shalik guy talks. Everybody in the chat, give Michael Shalik a thumbs up here. I like this guy's moxie. Cameron Spencer with the $4.99 super chat. Would you rather be chopped by what? Didn't I read this already? I sent a super chat earlier. I didn't see. Oh, he sent it twice. Well, now I feel bad. Well, I'll answer your question again. If you gave me an option of either, of well, I would take the Walter chop. Anything around the Adam's apple, it's you don't want that. That freaks me out too much. But the thought of Walter missing by a few inches in a match and chopping somebody in the Adam's apple, I mean, that would be my worst nightmare. Tibbs, 316, best wishes. Best wishes to you, too. Thank you for the 20. Johnny XL5 with a $7 super chat. Hey, Solomonster from the UK. Love the show. Zombies were interesting to say the least. Raw is so trash. All I could do was laugh, to be honest. Yeah, laughing was not my first reaction, as you could tell from this review. Taylor E with the $10. We're with the wipers. We're with the wipers. Fellow Sopranos fan, I see. With the wipers. Stephen Fees, I love a good Solomonster cold open rant. Yeah, I only save them for special occasions. You don't want to wear them out. But when there's a reason to do one, you do one. Dry chicken without flavor. Everyone in the company was eating dry chicken without flavor and turned into zombies. By the way, I only watched the main event. And it was a good match. Hey, if you only watched the main event, then this pay-per-view is one of the best shows all year. Sigmund87, if anybody but Reigns was champion right now, I would be pissed that Cesaro did not win. John Falchetta, not even Russo, booked zombies, bro. Rodimus Prime sent, well, you know, I have to say this. I'm actually going to give credit to Russo here. Russo would not have done that. You're right. Russo would not have booked zombies on the show. The one thing about Russo, and the problem with him is that he took it to the extreme. He would just take it too far in the other direction. He tried to base things in realism. The problem is that he went to, like in WCW, he would go too far with it, where you had angles where it was like the announcers are on television talking about how Goldberg or Sid, or this person, or that person, they broke the script. That wasn't supposed to happen. They're going against the script. And that's almost as bad as the zombie stuff. You don't go on the air on wrestling television and talk about the script. It's just something you don't do. It's lame. It's stupid. It doesn't make the show any cooler or any more enjoyable. It makes it very dumb. It takes you out of it. But everything that he would do, he went into it with the idea of basing it in realism. So you're right. You would never have seen fucking zombies on this show. You're right. Rodimus Prime with the $35. Thank you, Rodimus. Good to hear from you. Missed the show due to work, but will watch the replay later. I'm sure the main event was awesome. Well, here's my advice to you. There actually were quite a few good matches on this show. Do yourself a favor. Watch the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Well, let's go back even a little bit. Watch the open for the Raw Women's title. Watch the Tag Team title match. And then just skip right to the two main events. And pretend that everything that happened in the middle around that, you know, Lumberjack time, just pretend it didn't even happen. Just skip right over it and go right to the title matches in the main event. That's my advice to you. Roderick, look at this. We had Rodimus and then Roderick. Roderick Welch with the $20 super chat. Didn't watch the pay-per-view because WWE is so disappointing and infuriating, i.e. The Fiend, Retribution, etc. Team AEW, he says. But side note, what are your thoughts on The Miz possibly getting the role of Johnny Cage in the next Mortal Kombat? Hey, Sean Waters, thank you for becoming a Sound Off superstar. Although I think he may have already been a member. No, maybe not. But thank you for becoming a member. If you want to look into the memberships, again, they're down below. Hit that join button. Get all the information you need there. I got more content coming very soon for our members. I apologize. There was nothing new this week. I was in a bad way. Let's put it that way. I was in a bad way. Was up in the... I spent a good part of my day on Friday in the ER. I'm okay now, but... hopefully we'll be able to get back to some of the member stuff a little bit later this week. Bogus fan... Roderick. So, yeah, Johnny Cage and Mortal Kombat. You know, I haven't seen the new Mortal Kombat yet. I have it on my watch list with Joker. There's a few movies I still have not seen. I do want to watch the new Mortal Kombat. Some of my my friends did have some not so nice things to say about it, which kind of turned me off a little bit, but I'd like to judge it for myself. So if you think I should watch the new Mortal Kombat, I do plan on that. As far as him being Johnny Cage, it's tough. It's tough because I just see so much of him on TV. Do I see him as Johnny Cage? I don't. But I don't know. I mean, seeing him dressed up as Johnny Cage, maybe, I don't know, maybe he can pull it off. I don't see it. Personally, I don't see it, but I would keep an open mind. Bogus fan, Dick Druids versus WWE Zombies. Give me what I want. Well, the Dick Druids were just as dumb. But at least the Dick Druids, you knew that they were played by human beings. They weren't being... people weren't selling for the Dick Druids. But the Dick Druids were very dumb. Very, very dumb. Angel Silva. With the $5, I met Miro today at the gym in North Hollywood. Congratulated him on the title win, took a selfie, and was a cool guy. So Angel wants to give a shout out to Miro. I guess today was Miro Day. That's very cool. A-Rod, 0513 with the $10 Super Chat drop. Who can legitimately beat Roman for the title? Because like Lashley, there is not a real threat that can take their spot. Should they have two or three-year reigns until they can get somebody ready like Walter? No, well, no. I mean, a three-year reign, come on. I think they could get to 2 years of Roman. I really do. They don't have anybody better. I would not take that title off of him until at least WrestleMania next year. There's got to be somebody worthwhile who can beat him. Cesaro wasn't that guy. Jimmy Uso is not going to be that guy. Big E. If they build up Big E for SummerSlam or something like that, it just doesn't feel like it would be the right time. Maybe they do a roster shakeup. Maybe they get some new faces on that brand. You know who could benefit, honestly, from switching brands? Drew McIntyre. You know, he and Roman had an excellent match at Survivor Series until the finish last year. I wouldn't mind seeing them come back around on that. Would Drew be the guy to take the belt from Roman? I don't know. But it's a match I'd love to see again. James Hollins. If Dominic ever turns heel on Rey Mysterio, should he call back to the Who's Your Daddy storyline with Eddie Guerrero? I mean, in what way, though? What would be the purpose of that? I don't know that he needs to do that. Rizzo with the $5. Allegedly, the July pay-per-view is going to be Money in the Bank with fans being able to attend. All right. Well, that would make sense. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. Usually Money in the Bank, I think, is in May or June. Bump it to July. It used to be in July. Actually, the one Money in the Bank show I went to was in Philadelphia, was in July. The one that Randy Orton won back in, it was Damian Sandow and Randy Orton won the two Money in the Bank matches on that show back in 2013. Bogus Fan says Money in the Bank in July. Look at that. Back-to-back super chats. Colin, 19 years ago, Rey Mysterio won his first WWE title with Edge on SmackDown. Dr. NXT Scorpio, to think that The Miz went from being WWE champion to being eaten by zombies. Magician Sapphire, with the $10 super chat. Thank God for the sound off. I had backlash on, but I could not force myself to care about anything other than Roman and Cesaro. Dr. NXT Scorpio, unless the zombies can do the Thriller dance from Michael Jackson, it was a waste of my time. AD Barnyard 90. To think Jim Cornette was looking forward to that Damian Priest. Was he looking forward to that? Why would he look forward to that Damian Priest match? Does he have a thing for lumberjack matches? Well, then I guess that's going to be a very interesting review whenever he decides to talk about. That'll teach him a lesson to look forward to any matches on WWE television. Rizzo. Just my opinion, but WWE and AEW give the people that laugh at this product even more ammo. Both companies are setting the industry back years. Abdul Rahman, thank you, man, for becoming a Sound Off Superstar. We got two tiers on our membership. Sound Off Superstar, Sound Off Legend. He just became a superstar. Rizzo, yeah, there's been embarrassing things from both companies, WWE and AEW both. Setting the industry back years. It's probably a little strong. But tonight did not do... It did not do any of these people involved any favors. And I didn't find it entertaining in the slightest. It's like I said, I enjoyed wrestling. I enjoy zombies. I have absolutely no need or desire to see them together at the same time. Unless it is in a video game or a comic book. And I don't read comic books anymore. There is no reason to put them together. You can keep the two worlds completely separate. It is not always a good idea to take two things that you really like and put them together. You could like two women. It is not a good idea to put the two of them... Well, it might be a good idea to put the two of them together. I don't think they would see it that way. Sometimes it's best to keep things separate. That's the case here. You keep them separate. 561 Mexico, buy or sell AEW Blood and Guts or Zombie Lumberjack match. Love your reviews, Sala Monster. Blood and Guts was great until the nonsense at the end. I thought it was an excellent match. So I'm gonna buy on Blood and Guts. Connor McColgan with the super chat. Thank you, sir. Tanya Anchara with the $2.99 super chat. Thank you, Tanya. Magician Sapphire. Jason threatening to shove hot pokers up people's asses. Redo of Sala Monster. I didn't say shove hot pokers up their ass. I said shove hot pokers up their ass sideways. That's what I said. Dr. NXT Scorpio. Wrestling fans, especially on Twitter, are the dumbest people on plagued earth. Makes me hate being a wrestling fan sometimes. Well, then you have not seen wrestling fans on Facebook, and you have not seen wrestling fans on YouTube comments. Might I point you in that direction? Or for that matter, wrestling fans on RSPW back in the day. And yes, I am working on a new RSPW Rewind. I know it's been a few months, but I promise you it's coming. And our YouTube members are going to get it first. So when the new one goes up in the next few weeks, you guys are going to get it for probably the first 48 hours before everybody else. That's one of those little perks that you get. A-Rod 0513, if there is a zombie apocalypse in WWE, then shouldn't the camera guys be running away? Doesn't make sense. Love you, Sala Monster. Yeah, I mean, the camera stuff I just ignore. You could say that for every segment on TV. It doesn't make sense. But it's no different whether it's the zombie stuff or something else. It's just one of those things that you kind of put out of your mind. It never makes sense. When there are guys having a conversation in the back that they think is just between two people, does it make sense that the camera guy is right there? Yeah, that's one of the things I have to say. And I think it might have been Eric Bischoff who was kind of, I don't say overseeing the production of it, but it might have been an Eric Bischoff idea. One of the few good ones that he had in TNA. They had that TNA reaction show. And even when they would do backstage segments on Impact, they would shoot it in such a way where the camera was hidden. Or the camera guy, he was kind of hiding behind something, and the camera would be giving you this close-up view, but the people on camera legitimately couldn't know that the camera was there. To at least explain logically why they would be having the conversation they're having with a camera present, because they couldn't see the camera. That I liked. So there is a way to do it if they wanted things to make sense. So what you have to understand is that in WWE, they don't care about things making sense. Like, to them, that's not their priority. They don't care. They don't care if the show makes sense because they don't think the fans care. So they don't pay attention to stuff like that. But that was something that TNA was doing for a while that I actually appreciated. And I thought, hey, you know what? That's pretty cool. The antagonist couldn't donate for a while, but things are slowly getting back to normal. Thanks for the reviews. I got to listen later, but wanted to send a super chat. Antagonist, thank you for the $5. Dry chicken without flavor. Where is the practical effects and blood squirting during the zombie feast? George Romero is rolling over in his grave. Paul Heyman with an $11 super chat with the comments made by Andrade about Charlotte's pregnancy and her having to do damage control as a result. Do you think Charlotte made Andrade sleep on the couch with zero sex for 1 week? I wouldn't know. You would have to ask her yourself. I'm sure she would very much like to answer that question publicly on Twitter. So if you would like to tweet her, do let me know what response you get. Professor John Gotti dropping that $200 bomb. Every time you see those red super chats pop up, you know shit's about to go down. Nobody does it like the good professor. Thank you again. Hope you're doing well. BW Roses with the $2. Check Twitter for video on Mox and Gage from the recent GCW. I mentioned that in my Nick Gage Dark Side of the Ring review. I didn't see video. I saw photos of Moxley showing up at the GCW show this week. I think it was this weekend, right? Was it last night? Clearly, they're building to something between he and Gage at an upcoming show. Because I think there was a confrontation with them over WrestleMania weekend. So I think this is the second one. And it only makes sense that they would be building. The question is, are they going to have Moxley wrestling in GCW or are they going to have Nick Gage on Dynamite? Because I could see Tony Khan willing to bring him in for a one-shot to do a feud with John Moxley. I don't know how that would go over. BW Roses again. Charlotte tried to pull a Roman pin in her match. Brett's Booze Reviews Nola sent a $9.99 super chat. Brickfist Bro here. Ah, Brett Brickfist Brode. Showing some love. Hopefully zombies won't attack me after the cash drop. Keep up the great content, Solomonster. Thank you, Brett. Good to hear from you. Joel with the $4. If you need a third member of the team, I can be Tatanka or Chief J Strongbow. Or Wahoo McDaniels. I have no idea what you're talking about. Third member of the team? Who's the second member of the team? Oh, I see. Okay, me and the professor. Well, we're not going after the six-man titles. We're going after the Raw or the SmackDown tag team titles. But if we ever need to add a third member, Joel, you can be our third wheel. Joe Olivo. WWE goes out of their way to make the flagship show Raw suck, but makes SmackDown great. Pay-per-view is better than I thought, and Hell in a Cell in June. Why? Plus, do you see Lashley and Braun Hell in a Cell for the belt? No. There's no reason for it. Braun got pinned. I see Lashley and Drew. But Strowman got pinned. There's no reason for him to challenge for the championship again, really, let alone one-on-one. I mean, I guess they could run back the triple threat. But if it's going to be one-on-one, it's going to be Drew and Lashley. Even though Drew lost at WrestleMania clean, too. This is what I mean, right? I mean, these guys have been beaten over and over. At some point, you got to have another babyface to stick in there. Sean Waters with the $25 Super Chat. Been getting over COVID and just want to give you a big thank you for your content during everything. Prediction for Hell in a Cell match is Drew versus Bobby and Seth versus Cesaro. Sean, I'm glad to hear you're getting better. I hope you're feeling a lot better than you were before. And those predictions sound pretty good if they're doing multiple Hell in a Cell matches. If not, then I would say it's either going to be Universal title and or WWE title. Daniel Carr. Hey, man, I'm competing in my first ladder match this weekend. Wish me luck. Well, good luck to Daniel. Got to tell me which promotion. Now I'm curious. Is it a multi-man match? Is it a one-on-one match? Juan Bermudez sent a $5 super chat. WWE is like a series with great actors, but directed and written by M. Night Shyamalan. Are you comparing Vince McMahon to M. Night Shyamalan or Bruce Prichard to M. Night Shyamalan? I'm not sure which is worse. Turtlehead. Undertaker was a zombie for like 30-something years. Now it is unacceptable. Shout out to my clients in the chat and to you too, Solomonster. Well, I never saw The Undertaker attempt to eat people. So your analogy is invalid, Turtlehead. Why are you rearing your head tonight? I see you on Wednesdays. Now you're here. I thought you were only on Wednesdays. Now you're here on Sundays. Thank you for the $5. I appreciate it. BW Roses with what may end up being the last super chat here. You might get the last word in, brother. Says, you're right on the... I guess not. We have another one. You're right on the craziness of the ultra-violent death matches. It's just... look, I made this very clear in my Nick Gage review. It's not my thing. I'm not a fan of it. I can't get into it. Certain hardcore matches I'm okay with. But when you get into the ultra-violent stuff with the light tubes and setting people on fire and... some of the other, you know, like a pizza cutter or a staple gun and some of the stupid shit that they do. I mean, that's it. To me, it's just dumb. I don't get it. But there's an audience for it. And if these guys want to go out there and put their bodies through that and end up on pain pills in 5 or 10 years, then hey, you know, hey, we all make decisions in life. So if that's what makes them happy and that's what they want to do and they can make $100 in front of 50 people and they go out there and they do that, then hey, who am I to say don't do it? But I saw the Nick Gage thing as more of an interesting character study and a look at somebody who is an addict. He talked about all of his addictions, but it's not just like an addiction to drugs or alcohol or anything like that. He's addicted to the ring and he's addicted to deathmatch wrestling. And he enjoys going out and, you know, butchering himself for that crowd reaction and to prove that he's the baddest motherfucker alive. I think that's what he called himself on the special. He's the baddest motherfucker alive because he took a bump onto a bunch of light tubes and he set himself on fire. Okay. I don't get it, but he's got a lot of fans. So if you're a wrestling promoter and you think that you can make a lot of money by featuring Nick Gage on your show and building around him and doing death matches, then there's going to be an audience for it. You'll make some money on it. Yeah, deathmatch wrestling has been around for a long time. Japan. You know, Gage talked about it in the special. He used to watch those Japanese death matches, and that's really what got him into it in the first place. So deathmatch wrestling is nothing new. Some of the crazier, dumber stunts that they do, because now they're trying to get more creative with that stuff. This is stuff, I think, in some cases that really hasn't been done before, probably for good reason. But deathmatch wrestling is not a new thing. It's been around for a very long time in countries all over the world. Daniel Carr, actually, hold on a second. I'm behind now. Let me make sure I don't miss anybody. Dry chicken without flavor. Is it time for the Young Bucks to drop the AEW tag team titles? Also, do you see Charlotte Flair winning the women's Money in the Bank match? If Charlotte Flair is in the Money in the Bank match, I think she's probably the favorite to win. I think given her current storyline and her association with Sonya Deville, I could definitely see that. So let's say she has a match with Rhea Ripley at the June Hell in a Cell show and she doesn't win. And if Money in the Bank is in July, she wins the briefcase. She's right back in the hunt. She could walk around with that briefcase until she's ready to cash in. Because you know she's getting the belt back at some point in the not-too-distant future. So I would think she would be the favorite. As far as the Young Bucks, yes, I do. I have said that Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston should win the tag team titles at Double or Nothing. I like the two of them working together. I like their interactions on TV. I would give them a run with the tag team titles. Daniel Carr, it is a six-man Money in the Bank match. However, we hold a literal brass ring above the ring instead. It's for Venom Pro Wrestling in Queensland, Australia. So if we have any Aussie listeners out there right now, you'll have to go check that out. Venom Pro Wrestling, check out our boy Daniel. It's going to be in a Money in the Bank ladder match. Reaching for the brass ring. You have to let me know how that match goes. Let me know if you win. Only want winners around here. Pedro Velasquez, the $5 super chat. Do you think WWE are above making Raw a watchable show, TV ratings-wise? NXT and Roman Reigns are carrying this company. What do you think? Well, judging by the ratings, NXT isn't carrying shit. Even though I like NXT, Roman Reigns is carrying the company right now. And do I think that they can make Raw... Well, when you say watchable, I guess he's saying both a watchable show and a TV ratings draw. I think when fans are back in the buildings and they go back on the road, you're going to see a rating spike. I don't think it's going to be a rating spike as big as some people might believe it to be. I think you'll see Raw get back up into the low to mid twos. And honestly, I don't really see them going much higher than that. I think at that point, they'll start to creep back down a little bit. But yeah, I do think the numbers are going to go up once they get out of the Thunderdome and they're back in, you know, bigger buildings and it's not the same building every single week. As far as making it a watchable show, it's going to be virtually impossible with these people as long as the show is 3 hours long. I'm not sure they could do it at 2 hours. They managed to do it most weeks on SmackDown. So at 2 hours, it's doable. What they have shown me is that it is not possible with the current makeup of the creative team to make a 3 hour weekly television show watchable in this company. It's not possible. And since the show is not going to be reducing its length anytime soon, that doesn't give me a whole lot of hope for Monday Night Raw. It's still the creative vision of the same person. It's still 3 hours long. Nothing is going to change. I will continue to watch and pick out the parts that I like and review it for all of you. But the reality is I've kind of come to accept that expecting some kind of wholesale changes on Monday Night Raw every time, yeah, every few months, we're going to shake things up or they try to make some kind of a change. And it just, you know, it always seems to go right back to the way it was. I don't really see that changing anytime soon. I'm sorry to say. Just don't see it. Paul Heyman. Thoughts on Taylor Wilde returning to wrestling. I really was not familiar with her work. I know who she is. But I can't really tell you much about her. So honestly, it doesn't really impact me or move me one way or the other. Brian Blair with the $20. How can some of these fans defend this stupid crap? You would be surprised. You would be surprised, my friend, because they'll defend anything. They'll defend anything. You have AEW fans that do the same thing. They will blindly defend the company to their death. TNA had fans like this. I documented them many times on my show, probably 6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago. The TNA diehards, they're probably still out there. Every company, I think, has their loyal base of fans that will defend them no matter what. It's almost like a sports team or being part of a political party. No matter what kind of dumb shit they do or say, you just, it's like a team sport. And you just feel like you've got to fall in line and you've got to defend it over everything, no matter how stupid it may be. It's no different with wrestling fans in some of these companies. So there really is no rationale behind it. You will find, if you search tonight on Twitter, I guarantee you will find plenty of tweets coming up with all kinds of defenses for the zombie stuff tonight. This is what's wrong with the product. Because when people defend it, they enable it. They make it so that it's okay. Oh, it's entertaining. Oh, it's like a wrestling version of SNL. It's cool. It's something different. It's fun. Dr. NXT Scorpio. The zombie thing tonight was Katie Vick levels bad, but still nowhere near as bad as that Katie Vick storyline was. Great rant and review. You sure about that? I don't know about that. Adam Talmadge. Jericho is Mount Rushmore. Career resume is unmatched. Well, chat, let Adam know what you think. Is Jericho the Mount Rushmore in wrestling? I mean, look, Jericho has a very impressive resume. I talked about that when he was on the Broken Skull Sessions. I said, when you really look at the body of work and all the places that he's worked, all the countries that he's worked, because he kind of came up with the tail end of that territory system. So going from Canada to Mexico and Japan and Germany and, you know, hitting it big here in the U.S., ECW, he was there for a while, WCW, WWE, being part of, you know, this big new upstart in AEW. All the big names he's worked with, the championships that he's won. It's an impressive resume. Is it unmatched? I don't know. I think it's up for debate. I think you could argue it either way. But, you know, I leave that to the chat. What does everybody else think? Adam again, would the zombies have worked at Halloween Havoc? If it was a comedy segment, depending on who was in the segment, like a backstage comedy thing, there are ways that you could actually make that work. There are ways to make that work, especially if it's during the Halloween season. I don't know if you've looked at the calendar lately. It ain't Halloween. It did not work tonight. It would not work tomorrow. It would not work next month. It did not have any place on this pay-per-view tonight. I'm all for comic relief in wrestling. This was not comic relief. This was just dumb. This was dumb, bad television. Of all the ways you could have done the cross-promotion for Batista's movie, I could think of 15 other ways you could have done it without doing potential damage to the people involved. They're going to be associated with this now. When the year is over and we're going to look back at some of the worst wrestling moments all year, this will be, if not number one, this will be on the list. Damian Priest is going to be on that. I mean, Miz, I would expect, but Damian Priest is going to be on that list. It's fucking inexcusable. Abdul Rahman, Raw has been 3 hours for 460 weeks. Feels like 460 years. Yeah, it's been 3 hours every week since July of 2012. Almost a decade. You believe that? Almost a decade of three-hour Raws. Jesus Christ. T-Mac 034 I'll miss the Thunderdome era. I've gotten some kind of weird comfort to it, but it's time to get back to normal with live fans in attendance. I look forward to it. It's time. It's time to get back to business. It's time to get the people back in the buildings so that they can shit on segments like this and send WWE a message. Can you imagine if they had fans in the building and they did that zombie shit with fans in the building? What the reaction would have been? Dry Chicken, where is Abaddon tonight? Well, she may have been in there. She may have been mixed in with the zombies. Maybe we just didn't notice. All right, I think we're all caught up on your super chats. A lot of good questions. A lot of good comments. I can't really say that your comments were shocking. You pretty much are in line with what I thought of the show. There's I love that Big Show super chat. Poor Big Show. Stuck at the WWE restaurant in New York for WrestleMania back in 2002. Holding up babies. Oh my goodness. Dr. NXT Scorpio just sent in a $5 super chat. Speaking of zombies, one last time, any good classic or modern zombie movies to watch? Well, Shaun of the Dead, right? Shaun of the Dead is, I think, a pretty well-regarded movie. I don't know about any other modern zombie movies. I mean, I watched The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead. But Shaun of the Dead is probably the most... what was the one with Woody Harrelson? Forgot the name of it. Zombieland, right? I remember enjoying Zombieland. Let's take a look at the Twitter results as of right now. Now we have over 1,500 votes in. Still pretty down the middle. Look at that. 36% thumbs up, 32% thumbs in the middle, and 31% thumbs down. So almost right down the middle. You want to break this virtual tie at Solomonster. That is my handle. That is my handle. In fact, you can see my handle. It's right there at the bottom of your screen, right there. At Solomonster. So, good turnout tonight. I appreciate that. We are close to 500 likes, but we're not there yet. We had over 1,500 people in here earlier. So, please, before you leave tonight, if you didn't hit that thumbs up button, please do so. Let's get to at least 500 before we wrap things up tonight. I want to promote episode 704 of the podcast, which went up earlier today. That is the latest episode of The Sound Off, covering a whole myriad of different topics, including this week in history, as we do every week. The Nick Gage Dark Side of the Ring, as I mentioned, that went up just before the pay-per-view tonight. There's the thumbnail for it. So if you missed it, that gives you some about half an hour of listening material tonight or tomorrow morning. If you want to get my thoughts on what I thought, as someone who is not a huge ultra-violent deathmatch fan, if you want to get my thoughts on that episode, that's up there right now. And I also just want to give a quick mention to this. This is a tweet that I put up the other day, and I was promoting this on the podcast earlier, and there were a couple of people who wanted to know what the link was. This is to HelloFresh, which is a meal kit service. And I tried their stuff out recently for the first time. Those pictures you see right there, I made that. And I am far from a cook. So it turned out pretty good. That's one of a few meals that I have had just in the last few weeks. Really good shit. If you want to get in on the deal that we have going for the podcast, that is the link. HelloFresh.com/Solomonster12. And when you use the code SOLOMONSTER12, you get 12 free meals, including free shipping. But yeah, I think that turned out pretty good. Honey Thyme Pork Tenderloin with Roasted Potatoes and Brussels Sprouts. Fucking awesome. I was so proud taking pictures. I'm not one of these guys that takes pictures of my food. But when it actually turns out well like that, it was like a photo shoot in my kitchen. I was taking pictures left and right. It was great. Anyway, that's the link. Let's see. We got a couple of final super chats here. Miles wants to know, what is Roman's path to SummerSlam? I don't think it's so much his path to SummerSlam. I think it's going to be who is going to be going down the path of challenger. So I mentioned Big E's name, and if they want to build up Big E for a title match at SummerSlam, I think they absolutely could do that. Outside of Big E, I'd have to give that some thought, just based on the current makeup of the SmackDown roster. I don't think there's any obvious opponent for Roman right now, unless they did something with the Usos, triple threat or something, but I don't really see that for SummerSlam. So it's less a matter of his path and more who is going to step up and challenge him. And Big E is the name that I keep coming back to. And Spanish Goddess, what stories do you think they should cover next on Dark Side of the Ring? Also, finally fully recovered from a back injury. Well, that's awesome. I thought that said back surgery. You don't want back surgery, but I'm glad you're feeling better. I've covered that on the show before on the main podcast. I've listed out topics. A lot of them, I think they're covering this season. Dynamite Kid is one of them. I mentioned the WWE steroid trial. They could do one on the sex scandals of the early 90s as well. I think that's another one they could cover. China. And they've talked about it. They wanted to do China, but they were made aware of other projects that were being worked on for her, and they didn't want to, you know, cover something that was already going to be covered. But I think China would be a good subject for it at some point. And they have a lot of interesting ideas already coming up this season. Dynamite Kid, Luna Vachon. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, Pillman was one that was on my list. They covered him. I think Sonny, honestly, I think Sonny would make for a logical Dark Side of the Ring. How about the how about Monday Night Raw for the last, oh, I don't know, at least 3 or 4 years? How's that not a Dark Side of the Ring? Juan Ocampo. Can you give a shout out to Mr. Friday Night himself, Pat, and his boys on the Pat McAfee Show? Check out his behind-the-scenes stuff on his YouTube channel. Are you working as an intern now for Pat McAfee? I don't get the sense that he really needs the promotion. But, all right, go check out Pat McAfee and his boys on the Pat McAfee Show. Is he going to come on my show now that I've promoted his show? You could try to work that out. KC in the chat, I see you, mentioning Balor. Yeah, I did float his name before. You know, Balor has a history with Roman Reigns. He actually beat Roman his first night on Monday Night Raw. And that's when he went on to challenge for the Universal title. He became the first Universal champion at SummerSlam, got hurt, had to forfeit the belt the night after. Balor has done all he can really do, it feels like, in NXT. So to bring him back, put him on SmackDown as the NXT version of Finn Balor, not the smiley babyface Finn Balor. Build to Balor and Roman at SummerSlam? Interesting idea. Absolutely could work. I'd probably put him on SmackDown before I'd put him on Raw. So yeah, I mean, what, you know, ask people in the chat, what do you think? Roman and Finn Balor. Not the Demon. Reigns and Balor. One-on-one at SummerSlam for the Universal title. The title that Balor once held. That he never got back. At that event, in fact, at SummerSlam. You know, the more I talk about this out loud, the more I like that idea. Roman Reigns and Finn Balor. Definitely think that could work. Dry chicken without flavor. Kenny Omega will blank the title at Double or Nothing. Kenny Omega will retain his AEW championship at Double or Nothing. See, I filled that in for you. Kenny Omega is not losing the title just yet. Mr. Robert Westville, dropping $25 here on the stream, getting the creepy Jeff Hardy super chat. There's Jeff the Jobber. unfortunately. There he is. Enjoy these reviews after all these main shows. Who better than the Solomonster to give his thoughts and rants on the good, the bad, and the BS of all these shows? Keep bringing the heat, my friend. Robert, I thank you. I'm glad you enjoy them. It's people like you tuning in that make me love doing these streams. It's messages like that that makes these fun. Because I know you guys are enjoying them. And I'm not just talking to myself. I do enough of that. I do enough of that when I'm not on the air, talking to myself. That's what over a year in lockdown will do to you. You start talking to yourself. But I figure as long as I don't start answering myself back, I'll be okay. Dr. NXT Scorpio, to be fair, the last 4 years of Bad Raw is, or should be, an entire season of Dark Side of the Ring alone. Good night, everybody. Good night to the good doctor. And Spanish Goddess with the $4.99 super chat. They should do an episode on Chris Candido and Sonny. Yeah, that's a sad story. That could certainly work. But I think you can get an entire episode out of Sonny all by herself. And Chris would be part of that story. But then I guess you really wouldn't be doing Chris justice. He probably deserves more of the focus in that story. His story is really sad because for a whole bunch of different reasons. By all accounts, he was a very nice guy. Very talented. Never got his just due in WWE. Was, from the moment he came in, booked and treated like a total job guy. His girlfriend, going around on him behind his back, made him the laughing stock of the entire locker room. Fell into some really, bad times in his life and in his career, and he fought his way out of it. And by all accounts there at the very end, he was doing good. He turned his life around. He was starting to have some success. What was it, him and the Naturals, right? He was managing the Naturals at the time, I think, in TNA. And just like that, over. His life snuffed out at a young age. Just when it seemed like he was really getting things back where they needed to be. So, probably a whole episode you could do on Chris Candido. So, yeah, I think are we all caught up? I thought there was another one that came in. Anyway, Bob the Builder, I see you in the chat. Bob the Builder, one of our Sound Off group members. I see the badge next to his name. What's going on, Bob? All right, I think we're all covered here. I think we covered all of our bases here, all your messages. Hope you enjoyed the review. I hope you enjoyed the review more than you enjoyed the pay-per-view tonight. And Zombie Mania. If you missed the beginning of the stream, it'll be archived here moments after I wrap up, so you could always go back. Give this video a like if you have not already done so. It does help the video out, especially in the recommendeds on the sidebar, which is why I ask you to do that. So if you can do that for me, that would be awesome. I am going to be back with you on Wednesday night, live on YouTube for AEW Dynamite, and next Sunday, episode 705 of the Solomonster Sounds Off podcast. I hope you will join me then. Until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a, all you guys in the chat, have yourselves a fantastic week wherever you may be. And I will see you guys again real soon. Of course, the next pay-per-view coming up in a few weeks, Double or Nothing, 2 weeks. AEW Double or Nothing. I'm going to be back on YouTube for that as well. So join me then. Until then, here's some information on how you can become a channel member if you would like to do so. And I will see you for Dynamite on Wednesday night. Take care, guys.